Warning. Critique Revolve contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My mother says, my son sing with a beautiful voice. I said, Mama, you say that because you are my mother. No, because I don't say that when I hear your father.
Luciano was singing in all the theaters. He was just opening his mouth. Everything was easy.
He was a nervous wreck before every performance. He would always say, I go to die.
We go to die.
Can you be sure you'll hit the note?
No, that is the beauty of my profession.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Critique Revolve. It is I, Michael Flores, here to bestow upon you a review. And here to join me in said review is David Sabal. Hello, David.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So today, you and I are going to discuss a movie and review. And this movie is the 2019 documentary directed by Ron Howard, titled Pavarotti. The synopsis: a look at the life and work of opera legend Luciano Pavarotti. All right. So with a running time of an hour and 54 minutes, the audience is taken on a voyage through the life of the legendary opera singer Luciano Pavarotti. Now, when I first heard about this film, Dave, I was immediately interested due to the obvious Ron Howard.
Yes.
Ron Howard's involvement. I'm a big fan of his work as a director, and I'm a fan of the opera as well.
Same here. Yeah.
It's raw, unfiltered, and deeply passionate. The artist opens himself up, in my opinion, in such a way that we feed off the emotions of the singer. Yes, music is passionate. Music is inspiring, but the raw emotion that opera conveys.
It's the classical form of entertainment when you think about it.
Yeah.
Before movies, before, you know, popular songwriting and everything, everything started in the theater and started with opera.
Yeah. It's empathic as well. We can feel what they feel.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And yes, it's a performance, but in my opinion, it's one of the purest of all artistic performances. And it requires the artist to be very vulnerable. They have to show so much emotion. Otherwise, it isn't a performance.
Yes.
They would have no career as an opera singer. So you and I, Dave, we love the arts. And it would be silly for us to snub the opera. Because, again, it's one of the purest forms of art, in my opinion. And another reason I wanted to screen and discuss is I'm also a big fan of Luciano Pavarotti. Not just the opera, but Pavarotti. I know it's cool to hate him if you pride yourself on being a top-notch opera aficionado because yes. of his artistic expression that took him into areas of
taboo.
Working into areas of artistic expression that others hated, like crossing genres, turning opera into pop, working with rock stars, and we'll get into this a bit more later, but I'm okay when artists dabble in other genres. I don't hate on you if you do that. It shows their willingness to keep an open mind and explore the unknown, which is what art should be all about.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the basis of the art is music. It's all about music. And it's amazing that basically, just like what you said, there was a lot of opera snobs in our review.
Like, he's working with Bono and other rock stars. Oh, shame on you, potty mouth. Oh, this is the opera.
And then after that, the thing I cracked up at was like, then they started tearing down. Well, he's working with these people because his voice is not as good as it is because he's old now. And I'm like going, holy, you are the advent of internet trolls.
Yeah. Early internet trolls, circa 1993, before it became cool.
Before it became cool.
And that's one thing that I have always kind of laughed at. I have known this for years that, you know, if you're discussing the opera, because I have different friends. I have, you know, my lowbrow friends, and then I have my my art friends. And when you talk opera with them, and you say you like Pavarotti, like, oh, you know, his earlier stuff was just great. But then when he started dabbling and changing his whole style, I'm like, dude, the guy was still a fantastic singer.
And he still was able to hit those high notes.
I mean, and all great artists do it at some point. How many other artists have crossed streams? You had, you know, let's say country music, Garth Brooks. You know, a lot of people hated him because they're like, oh my God, he's not country. He's rock and roll. And now suddenly, 30 years later, the man is a country music icon. Mm-hmm. Willie Nelson has time and time again delved into rap music with some of his friends who are rappers.
Yeah, Eminem.
Yeah, so they do. It's just what artists do, especially when you are stuck doing one genre for so many years. Sometimes as an artist, in order to maintain your intensity and your desire to perform, you need to challenge yourself. You need to do other things. And this is a debate that I have with my friends from time to time when it comes to the opera. It doesn't make him any less of a talent. He just went on a little sabbatical for a while, and he was drawn to the masses, and the masses took him to performing in a mixed genre environment. Now, Ron Howard, as a director, he had worked on two other documentaries prior to this one. Made in America, which was about Jay-Z. And then the other was The Beatles, 8 days a week, the touring years. So that being stated, I was looking forward to this, and I did enjoy the documentary for the most part. The music alone is enough to keep your interest, and his life, Pavarotti's life, was intriguing. But there was a lot of missed opportunities, I will say that. Ron Howard, as the director of this film, to me, came off as a fan that wanted to celebrate rather than dissect. He chose to romanticize the man opposed to truly getting into the areas that may have been unflattering.
Yeah.
And I plan to get into all of that, Dave. But first, I'm really anxious and curious to find out what your initial thoughts and expectations were for this documentary going in.
My initial thoughts and expectations on it. Yes, just like you, when I first heard that Ron Howard was doing this, I was really excited about it because, well, I'm a big Ron Howard fan.
Yeah, we both are, big time.
And I don't think that there is a project that I would not go see if it was done by Ron Howard. And because, like, I think that if that name alone should draw you in as a filmmaker. My expectations for it, yes, I'm a big opera fan. I have listened to opera music since I was a little kid. It's something of a passion of my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Pavarotti, to me, I always knew that a lot of people didn't like him later,
right. Mm-hmm.
But it never really dawned on me till the last night, just how bad, polarizing he is.
Yep.
I grew up with him because my mom was a huge fan of Pavarotti, and I listened to all his records. I always thought his voice was amazing. Yes, like no one could ever do what he was able to do.
So powerful, yeah.
With his music. I mean, the notes he would hit, just like we said, opera is kind of like one of those special music experiences where you feel the emotion through the music. You don't have to understand what he's saying. You can hear it in his voice, and his voice cracking, and his voice, like if he's happy and stuff like that. It's one of those things that I always told people is like, you should at least give opera a chance one time. Yes, you don't need to know the language that they're speaking because you could feel the narration through their emotions.
Yeah.
It is a very, very interesting experience going to a real opera and not knowing, because I remember when I was younger,
to be blown off your seat.
Yeah. When I was younger, I went to an opera a long time ago with my parents. And at that time, I'm a young kid who has listened to nothing but rock and roll. And my mom always.
And Two Live Crew.
And my mom always makes fun of the fact that when I was a kid, I always told my mom, oh, I only listen to rock and roll. I don't listen to this opera stuff.
Yeah.
And I sat there as a kid and I watched this story unfold in front of me.
Amazing.
I didn't even know what they were talking about, but you got the sense that basically, okay, this character right here is in love with this character, but there's a tragedy involved and this character dies. And then he's extremely sad and his sadness sends him into desperation and stuff.
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff for an actor to be able to do that to you.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about the opera. And I feel like there's a lot of people, surprisingly, Dave, there's a lot of people that don't realize there's a narrative. That's what the opera is. It isn't just music. It's a story.
It's a story.
You know, it has an act structure. There's a beginning, a middle, an ending. And that's why I've always been drawn to it, because of the story aspect. And yes, the music is amazing, but yes, you're absolutely right. You don't need to understand everything they're saying. I don't know 50,000 different languages, and yet I listen to various operas from different parts of the world, and you still feel what they're saying, especially if you go to a live performance. I mean, there's nothing.
Oh, nothing can beat that compared to it.
Yeah.
And so my expectations when I went into this was I was hoping that it would be just an unabridged look into his life as an opera singer.
Yeah.
And just like what you said, I think that we didn't quite get that because it more or less felt like a love letter to Pavarotti from a fan.
Yeah.
And that's what Ron Howard was. And to his credit, in a lot of promotional material, he went into this saying that this was like a fan thing of his that he wanted to do. He wanted to do a documentary on a person that he idolized.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not faulting him for that. I definitely understand what he was going for.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into this further. Luciano Pavarotti was a man that was plagued by controversy during the last decade and a half of his career and life. There were scandals like tax evasion charges, where he ended up paying huge penalties and later was acquitted of any criminal felonies.
Yes.
I believe there were lip singing accusations at one point. And my biggest problem is the documentary either skimmed right over it or chose not to even mention it. The tax evasion part wasn't even brought up.
Yes.
He was he was tabloid fodder for years because of extramarital affairs. Mm-hmm. He all but abandoned his family. Not financially, but physically and emotionally, he just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never overtly stated. There was a moment when one of his daughters mentioned she had a falling out, but then they cut to another scene.
They cut to a different part.
There were allusions to certain things that I knew of his life, but if you were not in the know, you just wouldn't really grasp what was actually being stated. The man was a notorious womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
Which in itself, I don't think is a big deal. I feel like the word is a fabrication created by American society's perception of morality based on Puritan-esque ideology. That's America for you. But rather than outwardly stating a problem that created numerous problems for him and his family, they chose words like he loved women. he had so much passion. I'm like, listen, the dude was flawed.
Well, remember during the documentary, they said like they played that clip of the lady saying that we're in Italy. You know, people, men have like six wives. The only problem is he got caught.
Yeah.
And I was like cracking up. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. It is a different culture.
it is. And that's why I don't judge people. But like I said, the dude was flawed. Say what it is. Does it make him a bad man? No. But he was an imperfect person.
And I think that's why in a documentary, don't you agree that basically if you're doing a documentary, you have to focus not just on the good stuff, but also the negative stuff.
Right. And I feel like that's ultimately what my issue was with this documentary. And like I said, I don't feel like you needed to go on this big spiel of just blasting the man. Then what's the point of doing a documentary if it's just going to be a smear campaign? But like many geniuses with a great intellect, they suffer from frail little people problems like the rest of us.
Yeah, they're humans. Oh, my God.
And that's why I say Ron Howard approached this documentary from a fan's perspective. For me, his documentary succeeds because of its failure to fully commit and flesh out intricacies of Pavarotti's life. And I know that sounds silly, but that's the best way to say it. The documentary manages to show Howard's compassion for the man. That's the win. That's the win. That's where he succeeds. It succeeds in that it's how Ron Howard perceives the man.
Yeah.
Perhaps how a fan wants others to remember an idol of his. You and I, Dave, off air, before we started the official review, and we were trying to wrestle with our thoughts because we walked out the theater very happy after the screening.
Mm-hmm.
We were swept up in the music. In fact, I put Pavarotti on. I have a playlist set, and I put it on the way home. Yeah. I'm like, God damn, I love this music. I was swept up in it. And that's why I told the PR lady, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to email you my thoughts because I want to be sincere and truthful. And I don't want to contradict myself later during the review. And I'm glad I did that because I started realizing that you leave the theater appreciating this man better. And I feel like that was Ron Howard's whole entire point. It wasn't to truly dissect the man and to dissect his flaws. Yeah, it wasn't a dissection into every moment of his life. And I understand that you have to choose which direction you're going to take your documentary. And he chose to show the heart of Pavarotti, who he was to the public, not who he was behind the scenes. And I understand that. But that's where you and I had various problems, because this is why a fan should not do a documentary, because it's not my cup of tea. And I'm not saying, hey, Ron Howard's wrong. Who am I to say Ron Howard fucked up? I'm just a lowly critic here doing a podcast. But I have strong feelings against fans that do documentaries on people they love.
Because there's that unbiased filter that you have to have as a documentarist.
Yes.
And like what you said is like, it wasn't, when I look back at this movie, it's not about Pavarotti himself. It's about his voice. Like that, oh my God, incredible vocal voice that he had. And it was a gift. That was a gift that basically to music was that this one person had. For all of music, not just opera, not just the opera scene, but for music to look at and say, he had this voice from day one. It took a lot of work. Like what they said is like he went through schooling and they showed it that he worked hard at it because of his father and all that good stuff. But if the thing I began to notice afterwards was there was a more or less a focus on his voice than the man himself.
Right.
Did you notice that? Like they would talk about,
they shifted from the arts and how he was so much better than so many people and what he could do and his early reputation as the king of the high seas, which I thought was pretty clever.
And calling him maestro.
Yes. And that's great. I feel like if he would have solely focused on that, like the voice, like you said, because you're right, Dave, the opening act of this documentary was more or less about the man's voice and who he would become because of this voice. And then through this voice, he would do all of this. And they then told the story. I would appreciate it if there was a more nuanced approach then. Hey, well, I'm Ron Howard. And just like he named his Beatles documentary, The Beatles, 8 days a week, the touring years, maybe he should have had a more nuanced approach to this documentary as well.
Yes.
And focused on the early years of Pavarotti before he was swept up in controversy, before he was accused of tax evasion and almost went to prison. Because then it just feels insincere when you simply breeze past all those other things. I mean, he breezes past the unbecoming moments because perhaps he doesn't want this man to be remembered for his imperfections.
He wants to be remembered for that voice.
Right. Not his indiscretions, but for his voice. The way that so many viewed Pavarotti toward the end is probably how he didn't want people to come off when watching this documentary. You know, a lot of people viewed him as a sellout, as a womanizer, mm-hmm. as a criminal, as a thief in the night that just takes any woman he wants. Damn him for being a ladies man. I mean, he even swept Princess Diana off her feet. I mean, to see the way she was looking at him when he was performing.
It's that voice.
I know, man. I picked the wrong career. Do you think I can go back and work on my voice so I don't sound so nasally? Do you think I can train myself to be a high C?
A high C?
A tenor?
And that was the thing that
David, I like that you just breezed past that question. Come on, don't Ron Howard me, bro.
Don't Ron Howard you? I'm trying to let you down easy. But like the one thing I noticed is like even at the later end of when they're trying to explain the later ends of his life, they breezed past his marital issues, but then focused on, you know, people saying, well, he doesn't have the voice anymore. Suddenly we cut to a clip of him with the three tenors.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, which was an amazing concert. And he's pulling off the same voice still. That voice is still there.
And that's why I'm saying, like, they should have, if he didn't want to go into the dirty deeds, right? If he didn't want to get into the nitty gritty of the controversy for whatever reason, which I'm willing to bet it's because he's a fan of Pavarotti, then he should have solely focused on his career and the Pavarotti, the music. That's what he should have titled this documentary and stuck exclusively to that element.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't be getting on this microphone complaining about this documentary because he didn't do that. He chose to explore his life through the years, little vignettes, if you will, of the highlights, highlights of Pavarotti. And rather than delving in to what really made this artist who he is, because do you get what I'm saying? I'm not trying to contradict my statements about Ron Howard succeeding, because I feel like he does succeed in the sense that he was trying to show the compassion he had for Pavarotti.
For Pavarotti.
He did. But I'm simply trying to state the possibilities behind Howard's approach, because from that perspective, he, as I said, he achieves his goal. In under 2 hours, he was able to romanticize a legend and bring out the passion that drove this individual. But for me, an audience of one, David, I want the dirty deeds. Mm-hmm. I like seeing the imperfections, the dirt, the ugly. I want to understand what drove or what drives an artist like Pavarotti. And sometimes in order to derive substance and meaning, you've got to have all the facts.
Because essentially, remember, we're being sold a bill of goods that is called a documentary. It's a documentary. Because like if like what Ron Howard did. It's not a docu-fan film. The thing that I basically say is if Ron Howard wanted to do a docu-fan film, he might as well have done just like what Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man did.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Just make a music video.
Just make a two-hour music video
that everyone's going to cream their pants over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but what are you guys excited about? It's karaoke.
It's karaoke and it doesn't delve into truly. What is that person's life? You just show them at their highest. That's it. The point of a documentary is you have to embrace all the negative too. If you're going to do a documentary on Pavarotti's life, like what you said, we were told that this is a documentary on his life. Well, then you got to tackle the fact of the whole tax evasion thing, because that was a big thing.
I can't believe they'd even mention that.
You gotta actually tackle the whole thing about his working relationships with his assistants, because it is very questionable. Did you notice that they kind of danced around,
especially in this era? And I'm not one of those Me Too babies that like, oh, men shouldn't date the ones they work with. I'm like, no, guess what? You put two people together, male, female, and they like each other. Guess what's going to happen?
A relationship.
Sex. That's life. We're adults. Let's not pretend we're some naive individuals that cling to these weird ideas of a bygone era. Okay, we have sex. Let's all say it. We have sex. Let's not be afraid of sexuality. So I'm not saying I'm a Me Too baby. Like they needed to expose Pavarotti for having sex with an 18-year-old assistant. Oh my, he used his power against her. She was a consenting adult.
She was a consenting adult.
I don't have a problem with that. But wouldn't it have been interesting for them to delve into that?
Yeah.
To delve into that and maybe form an argument for it, that it was okay. Like, she was there. His mistress was there in the documentary.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know she had a relationship with Luciano until, I want to say, an hour and 15 minutes when she finally said, he was my mentor, my friend, and my lover. And I was like, what? Tell me more. Tell me more. Did it get very far? I was getting excited. I was so upset because it took us an hour to pull that back. And honestly, being the sick-minded perv I am, Dave, I immediately, because again, I didn't really know much about her, I was like, okay, man, did he have something going on with her? Because there was a lot of photos they were showing.
Yes.
Of them very close.
It was like they were tiptoeing through everything because they didn't want to.
That's exactly the word I was looking for. They were tiptoeing through anything that may make him not, that may make Luciano Pavarotti not look so great.
It may tarnish the image. And that in itself, if you're doing a documentary, you can't do that. Then it's not a documentary because, like, you're not telling the whole story.
Yeah. I'm getting a little more frustrated with this film the more we talk about it.
But it is still a good film because the thing I really liked was...
It feels good.
It feels good?
If you want to enjoy a night, right, Dave? If you want to enjoy a night and listen to some music, I suppose you could watch it. But if you're really learning to learn, if you're watching it to truly learn something...
Learn about the man.
You're not going to learn anything except what... Maybe his children want people to remember him by. And maybe that's another thing. In order to get them involved, maybe in order for Ron Howard to have all of these people who loved Pavarotti, his wife, his ex-wife, his ex-mistress, his children, maybe in order for them to be involved in the documentary and lend some credence to this doc, because if he didn't have them in it, you know, then people are going to wonder, like, well, how much of this is really official and how much of this is just bullshit?
Yep.
So you have to have these people in there to add credence to the documentary. So maybe they dictated the term, saying, hey, listen, you know what? I understand there's some things we need to cover, but for the sake of my father's memory or my ex-husband's memory, maybe we should just kind of breeze through that.
Breeze through it.
And you know what I would have said if I was Ron Howard? I'm like, okay, I won't be doing this documentary. That's what I would have done.
Actually, yeah, I would take the same stance as well. Because, like, I'm sorry, if you're going to go and say you are a documentarist and this is a documentary, you got to cover everything.
Like, what's the definition of a documentarist? Someone who catalogs and who's a journalist. This felt, again, like someone who just... was a fan of the music. Oh, you know, I grew up listening to his music and boom.
And the sad part was like, that's what Ron Howard said. He went into this as a fan of Pavarotti.
I feel like if you're going to explore a topic, you should explore the topic.
Yes.
I mean, the thing that bothered me the most, Dave, is there were allusions to the fact that he abandoned his family.
That's a big thing.
That's huge, Dave. I mean, and they covered it by saying there was a falling out.
Well, not only that.
There was a falling out. And his daughter, we get the idea at the end of the documentary when it talks about his death and his struggle with pancreatic cancer. You have the daughter who stated that she had a falling out with him. And you get the clear idea that she had not spoken to him for over 20 years.
Yes.
That she did not speak to him from the moment that his relationship was public with his new wife. And I want to say that was in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So he died in 2007. Okay, 15 years or more that she didn't speak to him until he was on his deathbed. And they never said it. That you get the idea, but how do you not actually get into that more? How do you not talk to her and say, how did he hurt you? Like, How did you feel seeing him publicly? I mean, they had statements where they said, oh, it was really hard for kids. We didn't really understand his job.
Yeah, but just like what we said, they tiptoed through it.
Yeah.
Because, like, they would say things like that where all of a sudden, oh, we had a falling out, and then suddenly we cut to something different. And it was kind of like when they were first explaining the first affair. And, you know, just like you, I was like watching this going, are they going to come out and actually say an affair with his first assistant? We're deep into the movie here. Okay, I think this is going to be about it. And every time they tried to actually touch on Pavarotti's behind the scenes working, especially with the assistant, they tiptoe through it, which is sad because the way I was understanding is, oh, okay, so he was far away from his family a lot because of his music. Understandable, you know, he's touring around and
right, that happens, yeah,
and that happens because that's the road life of a musician and an entertainer. Is you're constantly on the road, you're constantly touring. And they kind of alluded to it, but they never really concretely came out and said it was a hard time for Pavarotti to be by himself.
Yeah. And there was another moment that I felt that we could have explored a bit further. Bono of U2 was a big part of the documentary towards the end.
Yes.
Dealing with Pavarotti's later years when he started getting involved with rock stars and performing live with them. You get based on the documented video of Pavarotti and Bono together when they first met, not now, because in the documentary, you get the clear understanding that Bono deeply admires Pavarotti.
Yes.
Okay. That's why he's a part of the documentary. But in the documented video, the archive video from the past, you get the idea he does not like him. That he was forced into doing a song with him. He's annoyed when Pavarotti touches him. He doesn't like when he touches his head or his face. I'm like, why didn't we get into that? Now, Bono very carefully and delicately said he's an arm wrestler.
Yes.
And said he's a man that will get what he wants.
He's a manipulator.
And he will lose every time because he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he alluded to the idea or the fact that he's the world's greatest arm wrestler.
Yes.
And I like that. It was charming. It was great for the documentary. But again, I would like to have known more.
It's tiptoeing.
How did he strong arm you to perform with him and write a song for him?
Yeah.
And but that's, they didn't that's do thing. It. But they you get the idea there was a bit of a contentious vibe between the two of them at the beginning.
Because it alluded to the fact that Pavarotti and after the documentary, I read more about like a lot of like reviews of Pavarotti and a lot of like what people thought of them. A lot of people have this sense that he was the great manipulator. Like he would just like what you said, arm wrestle and strong arm his way to get his way. And, you know,
come on, Ron Howard, teach some of that.
Ron Howard was like, going, we'll let Bono say what he says and everything and kind of make it into kind of like a funny moment in the documentary, which it only was, because you could kind of tell that Bono kind of looks back at it and kind of chuckles at it because he got strong armed by Pavarotti to do a song.
Yeah. And that much came clear. But I just wish they would have gone a little further. Yeah. I mean, because you're not going to taint a man's image by just being honest. I mean, again, these things were known. These things were in the headlines. So it's not like you're digging dirt. I'm not saying I want Ron Howard to put together a got you piece like, oh, we just found out some dirty deeds that nobody has ever known before. We're going to be breaking this news on my documentary.
But you know,
I'm not saying to be a scummy journalist.
Yeah. But you know what's been great? At that point, because it's a documentary, show the psychology of the man himself, of Pavarotti. What was he thinking behind everything?
David, you're just spouting out way too many good ideas, Dave. Just simmer down over there. Because you're right. That's exactly on my notes right here, Dave. The next thing I was going to get into is the psychology of the man. How did we not get into the fact that what makes him tick? I mean, because he, no doubt, he was a good person. There's no denying that. The man was a humanitarian. that much is known. He gave so much to charity and did so much. In fact, the reason why he got involved with Bono in the first place was because of the whole thing they were trying to do for the refugees during the Iraq War.
Yes.
I believe 1995 is when they sang together, and it was
for Serbia,
Bosnia. I believe it was Bosnia. Yeah, it was to aid the children of Bosnia. So the man is a good person. That's not what I'm not trying to say he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think a documentary that's truly being honest would, I don't think the attentive viewer would walk away thinking, oh, this guy was not a very good person. No, you would walk away thinking he's a great person in some ways, because Pavarotti was a magnificent artist, a humanitarian, a great singer, and he was flawed. And all of those elements for me are what makes a person interesting.
Yes.
There's a weird thing that happens within American culture. So many, Dave, feel like in order to celebrate a person, we must focus primarily on their admirable traits. And the opposite can be said about shitbirds as well. Like, let's say Hitler. Now, let me just preface this. I'm not defending Hitler, okay? Most things you read about this man is snarky, and they highlight his poor qualities as a leader. Mm-hmm. They diminish his artistic endeavors, but the truth of it was, he wasn't that bad of an artist, and he was a great leader with tons of charisma, and that's why he was able to murder millions of people.
Yeah.
His good qualities is why he was able to fool and manipulate entire nations. He was disgusting and despicable. As I said, don't give me any, I don't need any hate mail.
Yeah.
But that was stated to exemplify my point. I'm not justifying. I'm trying exemplify my point that so many use anecdotal information to marginalize the accomplishments of people we loathe. And we saw a version of that thought with this Pavarotti Dark documentary. They're afraid to focus on his flaws because, hey, he was a great person, though. He did all these things. We don't want to tarnish this guy's memory. Like, no, those things make him that much more interesting. In my opinion, as long as he's not murdering people, I'm never going to look at this man as a bad dude. Oh, he's an interesting person.
He's an interesting person.
I wanted to learn more. As you said, the psychological aspect. Why not bring a psychiatrist on to the documentary?
Oh, I was waiting for that.
And have someone talk about what makes a person like this, you know, tick. Why is a man full of passion not able to hold on to the most important thing in life, which is his family? How come a man full of passion and love, unable to connect with his family?
Yeah, and the only thing, the one thing that when they could have actually brought in someone to explain all this, like when they started bringing in actual opera people in to explain the talent that Pavarotti had, I was like going, okay, let's get into this. Let's get into the psychology of like what it takes to be a great opera singer. No, it was more or less, oh, he was a great person. He could hit those high C's, and it was all positive, you know?
Yeah.
There was nothing that basically gave us an inclination of what does it take to actually get that voice. When you leave the documentary, as I said, you kind of feel like Pavarotti was just given this voice when he was born. But then when you think about it, at the very beginning of the documentary, they allude to the fact that Pavarotti didn't actually start as an opera singer from day one. He started late in life, around like the age of 30, and went to school because of his father. And it took him, yes, it took a lot of hard work, but they never actually came out and said, okay, this is what it took. This is what it was tolling on him. The psychology, what it takes to be an opera singer. And you don't get that, but all you get is basically he was a great person, and we all know he was a great person. we all know that he was a great humanitarian and that people loved him, but you don't get the sense of, okay, what made him truly tick.
Yeah. And Dave, again, missed opportunity, because they again alluded to I think, again, for a very watchful eye, and maybe this is just me because I That's what I do. I watch everything to analyze and scrutinize because that's what we do in this network. But at the very end of the documentary, they mentioned how he grew up and how he grew up watching war. And that's why he became a humanitarian in so many ways. Yeah. And they mentioned, specifically mentioned that he grew up in the streets seeing people hanged.
That was probably the darkest moment in the movie.
Hanged as a child, just in the streets, because he grew up during the tail end of the war. And he witnessed people's death right in front of his eyes at a very young age. Why didn't they not bring a psychiatrist on and use that story to kind of frame the reasons behind some of his failures when it comes to his family?
Or not even some of his failures, but why did this drive him forward?
Right.
Stuff like that. And I agree. I agree with you 100% that it was missing some kind of authenticity.
Yeah.
That basically a lot of really great documentaries have, where they show the realism of everything and the behind the scenes, the inner workings of the subject. And that scene was probably the darkest moment, and I was like really interested in that, and then suddenly we just passed by it.
Yeah. That was, for me, I felt like that a lot when I was watching this. It's like, oh, I'm intrigued, I'm interested. Oh, and it's done.
And it's done.
That's it. All right. So according to Rotten Tomatoes, this movie is sitting at a 69%. And it seems like a lot of critics are enjoying it, but there's also some that kind of echo similar sentiments. Ron Howard's documentary, Paparazzi, is content to bask in his glow despite the broad array of home movies, family photos, interviews, TV outtakes, and concert recordings at its disposal. It never feels intimate.
Yes.
With Paparazzi, the person. I just pulled this up. Holy wow. I completely agree with this dude. Let's see. Another negative. To learn more about that Paparazzi and not the myth, we need a better documentary. Yep.
Yeah.
Offers little to no insight into any specific element of what made the man unique. Yep, Dave. Our thoughts are aligned with some of these critics here.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of these critics are basically saying, like, you know, the movie's bad. But in all honesty, it's not bad. I just think, just like what you alluded to, it was
missed opportunities.
It was missed opportunities, but it was told to be one thing when we got another.
Yeah, and that's why I'm wondering if this movie or this documentary would have been promoted as something other than what it was. As I said earlier in the show, Paparazzi, the music. Paparazzi,
the voice,
Paparazzi, the tenor, and you focus on solely the music behind the man,
then that makes sense.
Then that's fine. But you chose to meander through headlines without really delivering any insight behind those headlines. And that's probably my biggest problem with this movie. So yeah, Ron Howard was doing his duties, and he covered the basic when it came to the controversial side of Paparazzi, but he chose a lens of compassion over true journalism. Is that wrong? Does it signal that Ron Howard is a poor documentarian? No. It comes down to what you prefer when you watch a documentary. And overall, he did a great job capturing the humor, compassion, and the big heart that made Paparazzi who he was.
It was more or less a celebration of Paparazzi's life.
Yes. Dave, give me your final thoughts.
My final thoughts on the documentary. I still say this was a really great documentary. I liked the little tidbits that we did get in this documentary. The insight of the operatic world was really cool. And honestly, my only negative in the experience was I wish that the sound system would have been better in our theater.
Yeah, because, from the technical side, I agree.
Because, like, if this was, like, given true, it felt like what we were watching wasn't true surround sound. But if you were given true surround sound, you would see how epic his voice was compared to everybody else. And, like, I think for me, if I would encourage people, if this ever comes up, go ahead, watch this movie, get this on Netflix. If it comes out on Netflix, get the DVD, play it on your sound system, because to experience that voice in the theater was actually really amazing. And that's saying a lot when our sound system that me and you had to listen to was not good. Like, this, I don't know what they were doing up there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Scottsdale Harkins 101. I mean, get your sound system together, guys. Come on, that's supposed to be a pristine, you know, theater over there, right?
Yeah, I'm not actually watching something on film reel.
I don't think it's from Ron Howard's camp. No. I can't imagine them putting together a musical piece about opera and they dial in the mix. There's just no way.
There's no way.
So I am curious to watch this at home, which I will be doing. Listen, I'm a Ron Howard fan. I'm a Pavarotti fan. I will be purchasing this and I'll be listening to it in my own home.
Yeah.
And see what that sound is like.
It's a feel good documentary.
You know what? If you want to look smart, take a date on this movie, right? Hey,
yeah.
Hey ladies, come on over. If you want to pretend you're cultured, okay, I'm giving you permission, gentlemen, listening to this broadcast, lift some of the things we've said and go ahead and pawn it off as your own ideas.
Yes.
And talk about it afterwards.
And then you can hit that high C on her.
Oh, wow, David. I like that. Wow. That's pretty clever there.
That's true. I mean, when I do it, I kind of get operatic.
Okay. Yeah. So they have our permission, like to go ahead and use some of our verbiage and hopefully you get lucky. Hopefully. But then, you know, you're on your own after that, kid. You can't lift everything we say. I might start a service, you know, 100 dial a date type thing. What do you think?
Tell her that you'll hit the high C.
If you can't tell, Dave, I'm trying to, you know, get a few more seconds of running time here for the live feed. All right. We need to wrap. I want to thank everybody for listening. If this is the first time you've ever tuned in to Critique Revolve, you can find all of our past reviews and future reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, as well as Spotify. Just search Critique Revolve. Leave us reviews. Tell us you love us. You can tell us you dislike us, but I might search for you and find you, and I will. And that's not a threat, though, Dave. I don't want to get sued. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
The Corova Milk Bar sold Milk Plus. Milk Plus Velocet or Synthomesque or Drencrum, which is what we were drinking. This would sharpen you up and make you ready for a bit of the old ultra-violence.